Again, that's Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 30. This is actually, the Word of God is actually an amazing thing, as I'm sure you know. We could gain insights from one part of it, but then there's also a layer of the Bible that we could gain by taking a larger portion of it. So we're actually going to read today where Jesus feeds the 5,000. But the typical lessons, which are wonderful and amazing, God has not put on my heart. But what he has put on my heart is to take it in the middle of where it is, because there's something that happened before and there's something that happened after, which leads to new discoveries in the Word of God. And that's what we're going to concentrate on. We're not going to get... God has not put on my heart the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle and the miraculous thing that it is, but in the context of this whole thing, and hopefully this will make sense to you. So we're going to start reading at verse 30. The preface of verse 30 is actually found earlier in the chapter, and what happened earlier in the chapter is Jesus sent out his disciples, gave them power and authority, and says, go into the land, spread the kingdom of God. And they come back now and they have miraculous stories because God has been moving in them. God has done wonderful things, and they are all excited to tell Jesus what they've done in his name. And this is where we pick up in verse 30. And I'm going to read a bunch of verses to get the whole gist of what's going on. So verse 30, Mark chapter 6. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. But the multitude saw them depart, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now the next part. As we continue, Jesus sends his disciples off on a boat. And a storm arises, and Jesus sees them, walks on water to them, and this is what happens. Let's look at verse 49. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. And this is the verse that's very interesting that struck my heart. It says, "For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." This adds a whole new dimension to the story in whole. If you take the story in whole, this adds a whole new meaning to it. So let's picture what's going on in the entirety. The disciples are sent out. Jesus starts working among them through his name. They start seeing miraculous things. They're probably in awe. They're probably amazed. They're probably all excited about all the things God is doing, the deliverances, the healings, miracles all around through Jesus. They come back, and now they want to talk about it. They start telling Jesus about all the things that they've done and seen. But the problem is, it seems like that there is such a crowd around them that they don't even have time to eat. There's no rest. There's no place to have a conversation with Jesus where it's not interrupted. There's people all around. It says they're so busy, there's so many people, so much coming and going, so much commotion that they don't even have time to eat. And the disciples are probably all excited about telling Jesus, look what happened in your name. Isn't it great? They just want that time. And so Jesus says, okay, let's get away. We don't have any place to go. We don't have any place that we could do this here, but yes, we want to do, let's get away. And so they get away. They go away, but the problem is that the people see him going. And they want to be with Jesus too. And so many people, looks like over 5,000 of them, follow them and arrive before they even get there. The disciples, it seems like they have this idea. It's a great idea, Jesus. Let's get away. It's a great idea. Oh, wow, that's a winner, Jesus. Let's go for it. Let's get away from all these people. They're really annoying us. We really want to talk to you. We really want to spend time. We really want to focus on what we've done. This is such so great. You know, we want this time with you. And they get fixed on that idea. They start to desire that idea. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get away. And what happens is, plans change. And many times we can get fixed on ideas too. We can get our mind fixated on something and often miss what God is doing in the moment. We get ourselves fixated on something and miss what God is doing. They had hardened hearts. You would think, how can anybody have a hardened heart through the miracle of the 5,000? The 5,000 being fed. How could anybody have a hardened heart through that? But the Bible says they had a hardened heart through all of it. Fascinating. And we could do that too if we get ourselves fixated on something, because sometimes, many times, God doesn't work exactly the way we want. A few weeks ago, we talked about what happens in the wilderness. And I'll remind you what happens in the a pattern throughout the Bible is that God gives us a promise, and then from the time that God gives the promise until he fulfills the promise, many times he gives us the exact opposite of that promise. That is called the wilderness. He told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. They get out of Egypt and they don't even have water. They go 3 days with no water and a million people. We were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Where is it? We don't even have water. This is the pattern of God. It's repeated over and over. David promised a kingdom. He was not only not given a kingdom, he was chased by a demonized king, Saul, for many, many years. Joseph promised to be leader. He was thrown in prison, falsely accused, and on and on. We can go, because this is the pattern of God. But he brings us out of those wilderness. We even hear that today, bringing us out of the wilderness through people's stories, testimonies. And so God has this way of telling, many times telling us, okay, this is what's going to happen, and then sometimes things change. And the disciples are probably a little frustrated by it, because Jesus said, hey, we're going to get some rest. And they're thinking, yes, rest is what we want. Time alone is what we want. And then what they see Jesus do is they see Jesus have compassion, and he starts teaching all these people. We wanted to get away. We wanted to be alone. We left the place that had too many people, and now we have 5,000 of them, and you're gonna begin to teach them now, Jesus? Because they're focused on one thing. We want to get away. And Jesus starts teaching them. And Jesus has compassion on them. And Jesus sees the need. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They need somebody to guide them. He couldn't just leave them alone. But his disciples wanted him to follow his original word. They wanted him to not change plans, but Jesus changed plans based on the need. And many times, the church in general has a tough time doing that too. This is what the word of God was many, many years ago. But now, needs have changed. Things are different. The situation is not exactly the same, but Jesus said it a while ago. Yes, he said it, but the needs have changed. The needs are no longer the same. And so Jesus changes everything. He wasn't afraid to look at what's going on in the world around him, in the situation around him, and say, this is what's needed for today. We know what we said yesterday and that worked for yesterday, but does it apply to right now? Those words, we've always done it this way. This should not be what drives the people of God, being led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God if you are led by the Spirit, according to the Bible, Romans 8. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, not those who are led by this is what we've always done. And so Jesus changes everything. He changes the plan. It's no longer going to be rest, but I'm going to teach him. It's no longer going to be rest, but I'm going to minister to the people. And so now what happens is the Bible tells us that the day is far spent. So the disciples are thinking, we're going to get away. We're going to have this time of rest. And now Jesus has changed plans, and now the day is ruined. Because now the day is gone. We don't have any more time anymore. The day is far spent. And so they say to him, Jesus, get them away from us. Send them away. We're tired of all the people. Send them away. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. He says, you give them something to eat. And they look at him and say, what? We don't have anything. 200 denarii. A denarius is about a day's wages. So they're thinking, maybe two-thirds of a year's wages. Oh, maybe if we had almost a year's worth of wages, we can go and buy some bread. But we don't have that, Jesus. But he says, you go and give them something. The hardened hearts are there. The hardened hearts are starting to show up because they're frustrated and maybe a little offended. And that's what happens when we expect something and God often does something else. And there is offense. We shouldn't have been in this place in our lives at this time. I expected something different. And the offense against God could even come. And a hardened heart could creep in. We could become offended by God because we expect something different. That's essentially the root of offense, is when you think that you should have something and you get something different that you don't like. You become offended. This shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have this. I should be at this other place. This is not justice. Something should be done about this situation. And we don't see it being done, and then all of a sudden there's an offense that creeps in, and after that a hardness of heart can creep in as well. Because we expected God. God could have prevented this. He sees it all. Why couldn't he have prevented it? We could become offended. How come? Why? all those questions are so natural in our lives. They creep up, and over time they could offend us. So this is where we are. And the interesting thing is, when you have this offended heart, when you have this hardened heart, when you have this going on in your mind, even the feeding of the 5,000, even a miraculous thing, sometimes you miss it. You miss what God is doing around you when your heart is so focused on what could have been and what should have been and what I thought was going to be. Jesus said rest, and look, not only do we not have rest, but the day is gone, and now he wants us to feed them. And so Jesus performs the miracle, and he says, okay, you distribute it. You sit them all down. You organize them all. All they got was the opposite of rest. They got more work. And it's a fascinating thing, because in verse number 42, it says, so they all ate and were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. 12 baskets. It's interesting that the Bible includes that, right? They took up 12 baskets of fragments. Fascinating to me. Because there's how many disciples? 12 disciples. And how many baskets are there? 12 baskets as well. One for every single disciple. One for every single disciple. Every single one that wanted to get away and rest. Every single one that wanted to just share some testimony. That just wanted to do something good. It wasn't bad what they wanted. It was good what they wanted. They just wanted to spend some time with Jesus, but they didn't get it, and their hearts were hardened, and they didn't understand the miracle that God was doing, even though it was right in front of their faces. 12 baskets full of a miracle that they're holding on to, and they couldn't see it because their hearts were hardened. Jesus multiplied the bread, and each one of them were carrying a miracle in their hands. But because they're fixated on what they want, and because they have this potential to be offended, because they were focused on the thing that they wanted as opposed to the thing that God was doing, Jesus was doing in the moment, they missed it. 12 baskets full is what they ended up with. One for every single disciple. The answer was right in their hand, what God was doing. And maybe like little children, they're saying, yeah, but you said, Jesus. But you said we were going to have some rest. Where's the rest? The day is far spent. Where is that rest? And it's interesting to note that it's the disciples who had the hard heart. We could be sitting in a church. We could be doing ministry for the Lord. We could be close to God. There was nobody closer to Jesus than these 12 men, and yet they had hardened hearts. We can have the exact same thing. If we don't get what we want and we think that we should, if the situation doesn't work out the way we think it should work out, if the justice of God doesn't come the way we think it should come, we can end up with a hardened heart. It doesn't matter if you come to church every Sunday. It doesn't matter if you pray every day. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible every day. If you are offended at God, you too could have a hardened heart. These were his disciples. There was no one closer to Jesus than these men. Now the good news is this. Even with that hardened heart, Jesus knows what's going on. He sends them off. They get into the boat. No rest. They had a lot of work. all kinds of people, and now they're in the middle of a storm. Oh my gosh, this day just keeps getting worse and worse. Now we're going to die. Because now the wind and the waves and everything is bad. And Jesus comes to them. Jesus comes to them while they have a hardened heart. Because that's who our God is. He is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And even when we don't deserve it, He comes to us. He comes to them. He saves them again when they have a hardened heart. He knew what was going on in their minds. He knew what was going on in their hearts. And He performs another miracle so that He could get to them in that state. This is the way Jesus works. When we were still sinners, He died for us. He came to us when we did not know Him, when we did not care. He came to us when we were still sinners. Because that's the kind of God He is. That's the kind of love that He has. That's the kind of immense, immeasurable, incomprehensible almost love that He has for us. Because in our state, whatever it is, however offended we are, however hard-hearted we are, He still comes to us. And for those of you who are praying about loved ones and praying about people and wondering if they're ever going to come to God, take heart. God comes to us. God could come to them, even in their heart, even in their state where they don't want anything to do with God, even when they're not pleased with God, even though God did them wrong in their minds, God came to them. God came to them. God did a miracle, a miraculous miracle, one of the miracles that is known by almost everyone. Even if you don't call yourself a Christian, most people know the walking on water. It's almost a cliche now. Oh, He thinks He could walk on water. Yes, it's because everybody knows what Jesus did, and He did this while people were hardened in their hearts. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That this is our God. That this is Jesus. That this is who He is. That this is what He will do for us. And this is how much He cares for you and me. And He sees us in our state. And He sees us where we are. But He says, I love them. It's not because we love Him so greatly that He comes to us. It's because He first loved us that we love Him. That's the order. He first loved us, and now we love Him. Because He is an awesome God. And He comes to us in our state. He calls out to us in whatever state we are in. Take heart for those that you're praying. They are not without hope. They are not without a solution. They are not without a Savior who loves them. They are not without Jesus who can reach them where they're at. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, God will even do a miracle to get to them. Even in their state. Which is a beautiful thing, because this is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. An amazing, miraculous, loving God that has no equal and no match and could do all things and loves us enough that He is willing to find us. This is God's pattern. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they sinned. Probably the greatest sin, if you can measure sin, the greatest consequence to sin that was ever done. And God went to them. Adam, where are you? The greatest sin, at least in my mind, you could judge for yourself, the greatest sin ever. The biggest consequences ever, and God went to them. God reached out to them and said, Adam, where are you at, Adam? He knew exactly what had happened. He knew exactly what the consequences were going to be, but he still reached out to man in that state. Will he not reach out? Will he not reach out to those that we pray for as well? If we call on him, we realize who he is. We realize what his nature is. This is his nature, to go after those that are lost, to seek and to save those that are lost. This was the mission of Jesus. This is our God. How could we not love him and love him greatly and give him our lives? This is our God. Take heart. Be encouraged. This is the year, the acceptable year of our Lord. Let us press in so that we might see it manifest in our lives, in those around us, so that God might have his kingdom spread forward. For through us, his name be praised.